Begin the current daf, Gesubas daf Samach Tes. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf regarding the rights that a Yisrima has in her father's estate, which are primarily Mezainis, which she gets fed from that estate, and Parnasa, which is commonly called the Nedunya, the dowry that she gets, according to the one opinion that's a tenth of the estate that she gets to go in and bring into her new marriage. Now, specifically, the Gemara continues from the end of the previous daf, where Rebbe had made a differentiation between Mezainis, which is called Tznai Ksuba, and Parnasa, which is this dowry that she takes into the new marriage. So continuing on this theme, the Gemara brings that Talalei Rav Le Rebbe, that Rav sent a letter of greeting to Rebbe, and he wrote him this question, Beinei Chite. Between the lines, he wrote him this question. The question was as follows, Ha'achen Sheshibdu, brothers, which these are the orphans that took over the Yerusha, the estate of their father, if they went and they were mishabed those properties, which means to say that they made it now indebted to other people, Mahu, what's the halacha regarding the daughter? And that is the daughter, she gets fed and she gets parnasa from the estate, but now it's not available, either because they sold it or because it was there's a lien and there's something that they did to it that they were mishabed, they indebted it to other people. What's the halacha? Can the daughter be to get from that part of the estate? So Havayosef Reb Chiya Kameh. So Reb Chiya was sitting in front of Rebbe when he received this question from Rav. So Amar Leis, Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, what does Rav mean when he asked this question that the brothers were mishabed? They made it indebted to others. Machroi oy mashkene. What did he mean by that? Did he mean that the brothers sold it off to other people? And that's what made it now mishubid, it's indebted to other people, and that's why it's not accessible to the daughter? Or did they make it collateral to other people, and hence it's not available for the daughter to take from? Which one of those was his question? So Amalei, so Rebbe said to Reb Chiya, my nafkemina, what is the difference? Who cares which one it is? Bein machur, bein shemashkenu, whether the brother sold the property after the father had died, or whether they made it as collateral, maitzin lefarnasa, the daughter could collect from those properties for the needs of her dowry. And ve'emetzin lemezainis, and neither one would let her take out for sustenance, which does not work from nuchas mishabadim. As we learned this on the previous daf, which is brought in Masechtas Gittin, that for mezainis one cannot collect from nuchas mishabadim. So he says it doesn't make a difference what his question was. Either one of, if it's mechira or mashkin, the answer would be along the lines, if it's parnasa, then she could collect from there, and if it's mezainis, she cannot. Now, the Gemara wonders, v'rav, if his question actually was regarding the brothers selling it, he should have written, ha'achen shemachu mahu. And if his question was regarding collateral, then he should have written collateral. Why did he use this ambiguous term, which was what he was asking, and which Rebbe said it doesn't make a difference, but why did he write it in that vague way? So the Gemara says, actually, Rav Tavai coming by Yalei. Actually, Rav, his question was actually on both of them. The Savan, he thought as follows. He says, if I'm going to write, what's the halacha if the brothers sell? Well, now, that would be very good if Rebbe would respond to me that, okay, that she could collect from, let's say we're talking about Parnasa, that she could collect from, even if it was sold. So, that would resolve my other question, that it was only collateral, because if Mechira, which is stronger in the other person's possession, Mashkin, which is just collateral, just that they have a lien on, for sure she could take out from there for her dowry. Now, however, but if he would send back to me, to my question of the brothers that sold, that she cannot take out from there to use for her dowry, well, I would still not know then a lower level of rights of these other people, which is just a collateral, that maybe then she would be able to collect from there. And therefore, I had to say that a term that would mean both. And so to the other way around. If I only wrote, what's the halach if the brothers make it into collateral? Well, if he would respond to me, Rebbe, that she cannot collect from there, well, that would answer my other question for sure. For sure, if it was sold off, that it's very strong in the other people's possession, that for sure the daughter would not be able to collect from there for her dowry. But if he would respond to me that she could take, if it was just mashkin, I would still not know then what the halacha would be if the brother sold it off. Maybe there she cannot be meitzi for parnasa. So that's why echtav lei shibdoi Rav's logic was, let me write a term that when the brothers make it encumbered, the mashma hachi, which sounds like both, it can mean either one, and therefore Rabbi, when he's going to respond to me, he will have to differentiate and explain if they're the same or if there's a difference, and what does he say on either one of them, and that's why he used a vague term. But that's what Rabbi told Reb Chiya, that actually, that's regarding Parnasa, it doesn't make a difference that she could be mighty both from not just Mashkin, but even from Mechira, even if it was sold off. Now, however, Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, Echadza ve'echadza, not only Mezoinis, but even Parnasa, ein mitzin, that the woman actually cannot, the daughter cannot go ahead and be mitzin for Parnasa from these Nechasim Mishabadim. Now, Ibailu, they had the following question. L'Rabbi Yechonon, according to his opinion that he just explained, that one cannot, not only from Mezoinis, which recorded from Masechet Gittin, that she cannot collect from Nechasim Mishabadim, but even for Parnasa. So is it Leishmili had the Rebbe? Is it because he didn't hear this halacha of Rebbe who said that you could be mighty for Parnasa? And V'ishmili have Makabale, and if he would have heard this, he would have accepted it. And the reason being is because Rebbe's a Tana and Rebbe Yechon would have accepted it, and he would agree that you could be mighty. Or maybe actually, Rebbe Yechon heard this halacha of Rebbe, but he didn't accept it and he doesn't pass like that. So what's the reason why Rebbe Yechon said that you cannot be mighty even for Parnasa from these Nechasim Mishabadim? So let's prove it, the Itman, because we learned as follows. Regarding a case of Misha Meis v'niach shtei banis uben, somebody dies and he has two daughters and a son. Now, the halach is that the son has the Yerusha, but then there are certain rights given over to the daughters. They get Mezoinis, they get Parnasa, which means to say an amount given for their dowry. Now, v'kidma harishayna v'natla iser nechasim. Now, the first daughter went ahead and got married when the son was still alive, and therefore she gets a tenth of the estate to be used as her dowry. Now, the second daughter didn't get a chance yet to collect, meaning to get married and take a tenth of the estate for her dowry, and before, that is, the son died beforehand, before she got a chance to get married and collect a tenth of the estate for her dowry. Now, the problem is what happens is that now that the son died, and there's only two remaining daughters, so now the inheritance goes to the daughters. They inherit the whole estate. So Amr Yechon says, Shniya Vitra, the second daughter loses the rights to a tenth of the estate. And that is, we don't say that, oh, first let her take a tenth of the estate like the first girl took. And then, now that they're both even having taken a tenth for the dowries, then they'll split the rest of the inheritance. We don't say that. Rather, the first girl that took, she was lucky. The son was still alive, and she gets this takana of getting a tenth of the estate. And however, the second daughter, when she gets married, she cannot collect from the other daughter because they're both equal in the Yerusha. A daughter doesn't get from a daughter a tenth of the estate. It's only a daughter from a son because the son has the Yerusha. So he gets everything. But then there are certain things we give to the daughters, one of them being Issa Nechasim, but once here that the Yerusha is for both of them, she doesn't get any more a tenth of the estate. That's what Rabbi Yechonon said. Reb Chanina said to Rabbi Yechonon, he says, to the contrary, how could you say that? Because G'day L'mezu Amru, because to the contrary, he said even a greater thing. In other words, even when the brothers, which is the halacha that we're quoting before, that of Rebbe, which this will illustrate if Rabbi Yechonon knew this halacha or not, which is what we're coming to bring this in for, Reb Chanina tells Rabbi Yechonon, even if the brothers were Meshabed the Nechasim, it's so strong, the kayach of the woman's rights to her dowry of the tenth of the estate, that mitzin leparnasa, that the woman could collect for her dowry, to collect from even lekuches, from purchases, which are called nechasim mishabadim, ve'ein mitzin lemezainis, but for her mezainis, as we explained from the Gemara Masechet Gittin, she cannot collect, that's tikkun ha'olam, because it's not a clear set amount. So that we know from the halacha of Rebbe. Va'at armed, and you're saying regarding a case where the nechasim, the estate is here, It's because it's just that's being shared by the two daughters. And you're saying Shnia Vitra? You're saying that the second daughter loses it? How can you say that she loses it? If even when it's by Lekuchas, which is not even here anymore, she can still collect it for Parnasa, as Rebbe had said. So here where it's in front of them, you're going to say that she loses it? And therefore, Reb Chanina argues with Rebbe Yechonon, and he says that no, She first gets the tenth of the estate, and then they share it, that they split the rest of it amongst them as Yerusha. Now, the Gemara concludes the proof. V'im isen, if it would be true, which the Ritva and others add on to the Girsa, delo yishimiele, that this was never heard before. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan never knew of Rabbi's halacha. So namele, so this when Rabbi Hanina said to Rabbi Yochanan, how can you say this, that she doesn't get the tenth of the estate, if even this halacha that I'm quoting you now, even when it's not around, meaning it's by lekucha she gets the tenth, for sure in our case that we're discussing, for sure she should get it. So if that's the case that Rabbi Yochanan never heard of this halacha before, so namely he should have said to Rabbi Hanina, to Rabbi Hanina, ma namra, who said this? Where do you get this from? Now, from the fact that he doesn't say that, obviously, that he heard of it, and so if he heard of it, so why wouldn't he accede to Rabbi Hanina and rescind his opinion, is obviously because he heard it, but he was not mekabel it. And that's why he didn't retract from his halacha that he's saying in the case of the two daughters and the one son, that the second daughter doesn't get it. So therefore, that's what the Gemara wants to prove, that obviously it's that Rabbi Yochanan did hear it, he just didn't accept. And that the Gemara rejects the raya. The Dilma lo oilam lo yishmile. Truthfully, we could say that originally, maybe, Rabbi Yochanan, before Rabbi Hanina told this to him, that he had never heard this originally when he said this halacha, that echad ze ve'echad ze ein meitzin. When he said this halacha, that you cannot collect for parnas of nechasim mishabadim, he didn't know of Rabbi's halacha. Now, v'chishmile kibol, but actually, when Rabbi Hanina asked him the question from this halacha of Rabbi, so at that point of time, as Rashi explains, Rabbi Yochanan had already heard the halacha of Rabbi, and he actually had accepted the halacha of Rabbi. And that's why he didn't tell Rabbi Hanina, who said, where'd you get this halacha from? You're asking a pretty good question, but who's the one that you're quoting that seemingly contradicts what I'm saying? Now, if that's the case, that if Rabbi Yochanan ultimately retracted his halacha, and that is, he ultimately agreed to Rabbi that you are mitzin for panasa, for the dowry from the chasim mishabodim, although we quote him before saying that you don't, that's before he had heard of the halacha of Rabbi. So then why, when Rabbi Hanina responded to him and said, how could you say this halacha of the two daughters, that she doesn't get it, even though it's be'en, when even when it's not be'en, like the case of Rabbi, which you even agreed to, as the Gemara is positing now, that why is it that he didn't retract his opinion? And that the Gemara says is v'shani hasim. The reason why he didn't retract is that because that's different than the case of the second daughter when the son dies, that she does lose, because the ikar revach besa. The reason being is because, you're right, I agree to the halacha of Rabbi that you're trying to bring a raya and ask me from by lekuchas, even if it's not be'en, she could collect from there. But here, when you have these two daughters who are inheriting everything since the son died, so she's already taking half of the Yerusha. So that's more than a tenth of the estate. She's getting 50% of the estate, and therefore there's no need for her to get the tenth of the estate. And that's why she doesn't get it. And therefore there's not a contradiction from the fact that I ultimately did retract my halacha, Rabbi Yochanan would say, that I understand, I agree to Rebbe that you could collect for panasa from the chasim shabbatim, but that's because she doesn't have anything. And yes, she has the rights even when it's not ben. But here, although your logic is correct that, okay, so if it's be'en, for sure she should be able to. Yeah, she should be able to, but since there's no need to, because she already has 50% of the estate, and if we don't give her a tenth, another tenth of the estate for her panasa, for her dowry. Now, that the Gemara asked on that logic of what would be Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, why he didn't retract in his argument Rabbi Hanina, but Omalei Rav Yemer Rav Ashi, Elameat, if that's the case, that Rabbi Yochanan really agrees to halacha of Rabbi that the woman's rights are very strong in the even from the chasim mishabadim, and therefore would even apply essentially in the case of the two daughters. It's just that she doesn't, because she's really getting half of the inheritance, therefore we don't give her a tenth. Well, if that's the case, lamayata ashkecha metziah ba'amah. Let's say one of the girls happens to find a huge finding, a treasure, de'ikar avach beisa, where she has so much money now for herself. So you would say that now we don't give her any more tenth of the estate? That's a takan schachamim. So what type of a logic is this that you're agreeing to Rabbi, but you still don't agree to Rabbi Hanina's argument from that that's why she should be able to collect the isin achasim from the other sister, because he's saying, oh, well, she doesn't need any more. She has half of the Yerusha. So what do you mean? If she just stumbles upon some type of luck that now she has so much money she doesn't get any more of Is Mechasim? That's not true. So Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded to Rav Yemer, he says, Ano Revach Beisa Mahani Nichsa Kamina. What I was saying that it's not a raya to say that Rabbi Yechanan never heard of this halacha, that it could be he heard it. It's just that he disagrees on the premise of the Chanina's question from the halacha of Rabbi is because it's not that she has a lot of money, it's that from this estate itself she's getting 50%. So why would that? So that's what Rabbi Yechanan argues from Chanina and says, you're right. How far the rights of Isin Nechasim goes very far. Even when you're right, like Rebbe says, and I agree to that, I retract it. For Panas, you could collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. And you're right, if she finds a Mitzia, she would still get it. But here what we mean to say is that from this estate itself, she's getting 50%, we're not giving her another 10% from this estate, because she already has Ravach Beisah, she has what she needs from this estate itself, and that's why Rabbi Yechanan argues on Chanina and says that when there was two Banis and one Ben, and the first one got, and then the son dies, that the second one doesn't get any more Is Nechasim. So Amar Meima says, continuing on these halachas, that Bas, the tenth of the estate, that the Chacham were mesaken for a daughter to take from the brothers, from her departed father's estate, when she gets married, she is Yereshes Habya. It was instituted in the halachic formation of Yerusha of inheritance. She is considered like a Yerush. Now, that the Gemara asks, Omalei Rav Ashi Lameima, Rav Ashi asked Hameima who said this halacha, he says, Ilu boi l'siluki bezuzi, if the Yerushim wanted to remove her from her rights that she has for the tenth of the estate, where she could take it as a dowry. If they want to give her money instead of land, they can't go ahead and remove her from the land by paying her off and giving her that monetary value of it? So Malian, he says, yes, they cannot do that to her. So he asked, if they want to go give her one piece of land, instead of letting her have rights to all the lands to take a tenth of it, you tell me that they can't give her that tenth, the value of tenth of the estate in one land, and she has the rights to all them? Amalayin. So he said, yes. Truth is that they cannot remove her with money, and not by designating her to one piece of land. Because if she wants to, she could take her portion of the tenth from any piece of land, and they cannot go ahead and make her take from one particular place. That's what a Amemer holds, that she has the aloha as a Yereshes. However, Rav Ashi argues, and he says, no, Bas Balas Chayv Havin. The daughter does not have the halachic status of a Yereshes as inheritor, but rather as a creditor, and that is therefore just like a Baal Chayv, that they could pay off the creditor with money or with one piece of land, so too does that daughter have regarding her rights to Parnasa for the dowry for when she gets married for a tenth of the estate. Now the Gemara actually says, V'af Ameim HaHadabe. Ultimately, actually, Ameim retracted too, and he also agreed that she's only like a balas chayv and not like a yereshes. As the Gemara illustrates, the Amar Rav Menyumi bereid Rav Nechume, he said, "Havekim lekameid Amemer." I was once in front of Amemer. Vasoi hahi itzel lekameid. There was a certain woman that came in front of him. That was kabay isa nechasim. That was demanding a tenth of the estate because she was getting married and she wanted it for her nadin, for her dowry. Now he says, "Vechazita ledaiti." I saw that in Amemer's intentions, the iboyi l'saluki bezuzi, that if the brothers would have wanted to remove her from her rights with just money, have mesalikla, that he would have let them go ahead and get rid of her by giving her that monetary value and not the land itself. Because the shami ma'achid abakamrilo, because I heard the brothers telling this woman, their sister, ilo havalan zuzi, if we had money, salikna bezuzi, we would get rid of you with money. Now, the ishtik v'leim l'vleim idi, Amim was quiet and didn't say anything. Obviously, what's called shtiku kaida, that he agreed to this concept that actually she's not like a yereshes, rather like a balas chayv who you could pay off with money. Now the Gemara moves on to the next phase. V'hashtu da amrit balas chayv havi, now that everybody agrees that, as we showed you, Ibn Amim ultimately retracted and says that the daughter regarding her rights for her dowry of a tenth of the estate has dalach like a creditor. Now the question is, da'aba oy da'achi, who is she a creditor from? Who owes her this tenth of the estate? Is it the father who passed away who owes it to her, and therefore when he passed away, she collects it from his children, meaning her brothers? Or is she a creditor of the brothers? So the Gemara explains, l'may nafkamina, what would the halachic difference be? L'mikvi l'beinis shlei b'shvua, Could she collect, as there's always three categories of lands, is what's called Idis, the best quality, Beinus is the middle, Ziburis is the lowest quality. So does she collect from the Beinus, from the middle quality lands, and without an oath? She doesn't have to make an oath to make her collections? Or Viziburis Bishvur, does she actually only collect from the lowest quality lands, and moreover, that she has to make an oath? As Rashi explains, if she's a creditor from the father, if it's the father that owes it to her, then she would only collect from the lowest quality land. Moreover, she would only be able to collect with an oath. The reason being is because, as the Gemara says in Masechet Gittin, that one cannot collect from the assets of orphans, meaning when the creditor of the father who passed away wants to collect from the orphans now, could only collect from Ziburis and could only collect with a Shvua. Now, however, if she's their creditor, the son's, her brother's creditor, then it's not, quote, Bali Par Menechsis, she's not going to collect from orphans. Everyone's an orphan. Everyone's father at one point dies. She's not collecting from their father. She's collecting from them. So then she would collect as a regular creditor from Beinus without a Shvua, or is she the father's creditor, and therefore it's from Ziburis, Bishvua Mai, what's the halacha, whose creditor is she? So somebody says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from the following incident, where Ravashi had passed away. Moreover, one of Ravashi's sons had passed away, that of Rav Sama. Now, when Ravashi's daughter was coming to collect the tenth of Ravashi's estate for her when she was getting married, so the Ravina, Agve Labrate de Ravashi, Ravina went and collected for the daughter of Ravashi, this Isu Nechasim, Mimar Beray de Ravashi, so from, there was two, let's say two sons. So from one of the sons, from Mar, the son of Ravashi, he collected for her Beinus Mishalei Bishvua, which is illustrating this halacha that obviously she's a Baal Chayiv, she's a creditor of the brothers. And that's why the son, it was she's the creditor of him, then therefore she collect with Beinus without a Shvua. However, Mibreid Rav Sama, Bereid Rav Ashi, but from Rav Ashi's grandson, who was the son of Rav Sama, who he had passed away, so his Yerusha went to his son, who was the grandson of Rav Ashi, Ziburis B'Shvua, she collected only the lowest quality land, and with an oath, and the reason being is because she's a Baal Shev of her father, who was her brother, and therefore when she's collecting from him, that's considered a Nechzi Yisayimim, and that's why it was Ziburis Bishvur, but that answered the question that we know that she's a Baal Shchayv, but it's Baal Shchayv of the brothers and not of the father. Shalach l'Rev Nachemi b'Reid Rev Yosef, l'Rabba b'Rav Huna Zuta Minarda, and the case is talking about that there was a woman that came in front of Rev Nachemi, that she had to collect the tenth of her father's estate, not where the rub that she was coming to Reb Nechemya, but rather she had to collect it in another place, that of a Rabba Bar Avhuna. And she requested from her rub, from Nechemya, that he should make a request to Rabba Bar Avhuna, which was in that other place where, let's say, her brothers were, that he should do his utmost to make sure that she gets what she needs when she goes there to collect her Isa Nechasim. So Reb Nechemya acquiesced and sent to Rabba Bar Avhuna that ki asya ha'itza lekamach, when this woman comes in front of you, Agvi Isu Nechasim, do me a favor, go ahead and collect for her the tenth of the estate. And Afilam it's Drubla, and even from the base of the mill, which that is, since it's heavy and laid on the ground, actually has the halacha ground itself, which that's going like those opinions that hold that she could only collect from a karkoy and not from a taltaloy. So he was saying that get a tenth of the estate and even things like the base of the Rechayim. More of Amr Rav Ashi, he said, "Kavina Bei Rav Kahana, when we were by the yeshiva of Kahana, have Magvina Nafila Ma'amla De Beisi, that they would collect even from the rental of houses, of apartments, which since that money comes from Karka, because a Bais is considered Karka, connected Mechubel Karka, so even the rental income, that was also considered, according to them, Karka, and therefore that's where they would collect the Isa Nechasim for the daughter, even from that type of the income." Now the Gemara continues on this topic and introduces an incident which will illustrate one of these halachas. Shalach le Rav Anna Rav Huna. Rav Anna sent Rav Huna. Huna, Chavrin, our friend, Shlom, may peace be unto you. Ki as yaha itza lekamach, when this woman comes in front of you, Agvi Isa Nechse, again continuing on the theme of the previous stories, collect a tenth of the estate for her, because she asked us to help out, and she's going to, where you are, give her what she needs for her dowry. Now, Habiyas Rav Sheshes Kameh. Rav Sheshes was sitting in front of Rav Huna when the messenger came with this message. And Rav Huna was very upset that Rav Anan called him Huna, our friend, not in the title of respect which the Torah requires that he should be called. So Amalei, Rav Huna said to Rav Sheshes, who was sitting in front of him at that time, he said, Zil Amalei, go tell him in this derogatory fashion that Rav Huna was responding in, the way I'm going to tell you. And moreover, Ubeshamti Yehe Mandalo Amalei, and the one who doesn't tell him the way I'm saying it exactly, in other words, a reference to Rav Sheshes himself, will be excommunicated. And tell him as follows, Anan, Anan, where do you want me to collect for this woman the tenth of this date? Mimikar koi, oy mimetal taloi, which is continuing on the theme of the previous Gemara's discussion, is it that the woman has rights to collect for her dowry only from karka, or do you want me to even collect for movable items? Now, one more question I want you to answer me. And this was the Gnai, the derision that Rav Huna was responding to Rav Anan. Uman Yosef Bey Marzicha Beresha, who by a mourner's house sits on the front, on the head of the table when they're sitting by a Suda, who is it that is sitting at the head? Now, the one who sits at the head usually is the greatest. He's the head of the table. And the one who's secondary to him is the one that sits next to him. So tell me, who is it that sits at the head of the table? Which is obviously a reference to the Avol, that it's not such a great thing if someone's a Reish, which he's saying that even if you're the head of, you're the Rav of where you are, his sitting at the head's not such a big thing, as we see an Avol, a mourner at times also sits at the head. Now, Oz Rav Sheshes L'kamid Rav Anan, Rav Sheshes, he had to fulfill this mission, went in front of Rav Anan. So Amalei said to him, Mar, you, the master, is Rabba. You're a Rebbe, you're a teacher. But Rav Huna, Rabbe de Rabba. Rav Huna is the teacher of the teacher, meaning he's your teacher. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason why he was saying this is because he wanted to appease him, that he shouldn't be upset at him, that he was willingly a messenger for such a derogatory type of a message. And he showed him that he really was forced to do this. He didn't want to be the shliach for this type of a message. And moreover, he said, "Bishamuti shamet mandalei amalei." He said that Rav Huna excommunicated whoever will not deliver this message, which means him. And ve'ilav deshamet la'avakamin. He says that if he wasn't going to excommunicate me, I wouldn't have said this message. But this is the message that he sent. Onan onan. Mimikar koi or mimetaltli. This woman that you're sending to me to collect the tenth of the estate. Did you want it to be only from land or even from movable items? And Uman Yosef Bey Marzicha Bereisha, who sits at the head of a table with the mourner, who sits at the head? So Oz Rav Anan L'kamid Marukva. Rav Anan got the message and he went to Marukva. And Omalei, he said to Marukva, Chazi Mar Hechisholach Rav Anan, do you see how embarrassing Rav Anan responds to me? First of all, Anan Anan, that's how he responds. Moreover, Marzicha de Shalchli, this that he sent me this question regarding a Marzicha, lo yudana mainu, I don't know what that even is. So Amalei Samarukva said to Rav Anan, Emily Easy, tell me exactly, as we continue on Talmud Beis, Gufa de Uvda, how did this, the beginning of this story, Heicha Hava, how was it? What did you ask him? What did you send him that he responded in this way? So Amalei Rav Huna said to him, Achiv Hochi Hava Maisa, this is exactly, he told him what he had sent to Rav Huna. So Amalei Samarukva responded to Rav Anan, Gavr de la yodda my new marzicha, a person, meaning you Rav Anan, that doesn't know what marzicha even is. Shalach li Rav Huna, Huna chavin, sends to the great Rav Huna, Huna our friend? Of course it's inappropriate for you to have sent it to him. And that's why he responded like that to you. Now the Gemara asks parenthetically, my marzicha, what is marzicha? It means aval, means a mourner. It looks like it says buzzing in Yirmiyah. Koyamar Hashem, so Hashem says, Al tavay beis marzeach begoimer, don't go into the house of a mourner, as it says in the context of there of the pasuk. Now, and continuing on this halacha, Amar Rav Huna says, which continues on the message that Rav Huna was sending between the lines to Rav Anan, Minayin la'aval shemesa b'rish. How do we know that it's a mourner that sits at the head of the table? Shemek says a pasuk in Eve, Evcher darkam, I would choose their path, ve'esh b'rish, and I would sit at the head, ve'eshkin kemelch b'gdud, and I would dwell like a king among his troops. Like those who console the mourners. Now, not the Gemara asks, Yinachim Acher Mashma. That sounds like that those who console the mourners are the ones that sit at the head. How does that prove that the mourners themselves sit at the head? So, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, Yinuchim Ksiv. the way it's written is written with the letters that could be read, that those who are consoled, I mean, the mourners who are consoled, they sit at the head. That's how we know that Avalon is Mesa Barish. Now, as Rashi expands on this, he says that to read it as a Pasach, which means Yenacheim, we only say if it has an Aleph next to it or a Hey next to it, or based on if there would be the Nakuda of a Pasach beneath it, which as if the letter of Aleph or Hey is after that, as if it says Yud Nun Aleph Ches in the Mem. Now, since it doesn't have an Aleph, so he says, obviously the only way we could know how to read is based on the Masoretic text, which you could read Yenuchim, and that means the one who is consoled himself, and that's why it's a reference to the Avol, who he's Misnachim. That's how we know that he is Mesa Barish, as the context of the Pasuk saying, all these people who sit for Eshev Barish, it's a reference to the Avol, who, the one who's mourning, that he sits at the head of the table. Mazutra Amem Hachay brings a different source, a Pasuk in Amos, that says Visar Mirzach Sruchim, that one approaches excessive mourning. Now the drasha that he makes from this, from the word Mirzach, which is this term that we're saying Marzicha, it means that Mar, it's a compound word, that someone that his soul is bitter, Vizach, and that he's detached from himself, Nasa Sarla Sruchim, he becomes suddenly a great one amongst the great, because when the great people, the big Rabbanim and great people come to console him, he suddenly becomes this great person that he's sitting at the head. That's the source for, and that's actually the word itself tells us to that Mirzach Sruchim, that the one who's Mar and Zach, who's bitter and detached, he is Saruchim, he's a Sar for Sruchim, he becomes suddenly the great amongst the great. He sits at the head of the table, and again, that's the message that he was sending to him, that you know, who sits at the head, the fact that you're a Rav, doesn't mean you're necessarily the greatest person around. You still have to have respect for me, for Rav Huna. Now, the Gemara concludes this whole discussion, Amar Rava, says, Hilchas Halacha ultimately is that a woman collects mimikarkoi voloi mimetatali, only from land and not from movable items. Bain, this includes lemezoini, for when a daughter or for a wife, a widow, collects mezoinis from the estate. Bein lik subo, and that's as illustrated in the Gemara Masechtas Gittin. Bein lik subo, or when a woman's coming to collect her kesuba. Bein leparnasa, and even for the halacha of parnasa, when a daughter wants to get married for her dowry for the tenth of the estate, that can only be, as Rava paskins, from land and not from movable items. Now the Gemara continues to the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnahs of Nedunya, of the daughter getting from the father's estate, going into her marriage, which is, according to some opinions, a tenth of the estate. So the Mishnah says, "Hamashlish mo'is labita." If a father gives over the money in the hand of a third party for his daughter's needs, to purchase a field for her, or a nedunya, or a dowry for her when she gets married, he gives it over to a third party to take care of that. Now, v'hiemers, and she says, after she gets married, Neman Baal Eli, don't worry about me. I know my father was so concerned about me. He gave it to a third party. He didn't trust me. Give it to someone else to get the things that I need, let's say, for my dowry. But she says that, don't worry, I trust my husband that he's not going to keep it for himself. Give it to him, and he'll purchase for me a field that I want. So on that, the first opinion of Mishnah says, no, Yasa Shlish Mashahushlish B'yadoi, the third party should do as he was appointed to. He should purchase the field that the father had appointed him to do, and he doesn't listen to her. As the Gemara will conclude, because it's what's called mitzvah kaim divrameis. It's a positive commandment to fulfill the words of the one who passed away. And since he said to this third party to do this, even though the daughter ultimately will end up getting it, and then she can do whatever she wants with it, still, he has to do what the father had told him, because it's mitzvah kaim divrameis. That's the Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Yisrael, he argues, he says, look, let's say you're fine. Let's say you went through everything that you said the father should tell you to do. And he said to purchase a field, and you purchase a field. And then you give it to the daughter. And if she wants to sell it, wouldn't she be able to sell it? So ultimately, Rabbi Yossi says, so it's sold now. In other words, what do you gain by purchasing a field? Even if it would only be money, It's like make believe the field was already bought, and she wants to sell that field now, so it would be sold. So therefore, we listen to her, and therefore, Rabbi Yossi argues, and he says that no, if she says, "Don't worry, just give me the money, and my husband will buy me a field that I want," we listen to her, and we don't have the guy buy the field, so that she should have to sell the field to get money for the husband to buy her what she really wants anyway. Now, on that, the Mishnah concludes, and the Gemara will explain exactly who is it that's saying this qualification. When do we say that we listen to her? That's Begadol when she's an adult. But when she's a minor, what a minor does is nothing, and then we don't listen to her. Now, the Gemara expounds and expands on this Mishnah by quoting a Braisa. Turn by Melinda Braisa, quoting these two opinions again. If someone puts money into a third party for his son-in-law to purchase a field for his daughter, and she says, look, forget about the third party, give it to my husband, he'll buy me what I need. So, if she's already married, the second phase of marriage called nisuin, then her shus biyada, then she has the rights, because the reason being is even the father didn't entertain that it should be done only through a third party, only until she gets married. Because once she gets married, then her husband merits everything that she has anyways to consume the peres. So then the rights are for the husband to go ahead and buy the field for his daughter. However, in the erisin, if she's only engaged, then yasa shlish mashuhushas b'yadi divrei meir. Then Remeir says that the third party does as he was appointed to by the father, l'kayim divrei meis, and that the daughter does not have the right to take the money for to have her, the one she's engaged to buy the field for. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael, he says, Hagadoyla, if she's an adult, then Beimin and Nisun, Ubeimin the Arison, whether she's married or just engaged, her Shus B'yada, the rights in her, as he explained in the Mishnah, because even if you're going to buy from me, I could anyway sell it and buy whatever I want anyway, so then she has the right to. However, if she's a Ketana, if she's a minor, then Beimin and Nisun, Beimin the Arison, then whether she's married or only just engaged, Yasash Lishma Shalosh B'yadoi, then the third party goes and does what he was told by the father to do, because she's only Ketana, and that's why when it comes to buying this nadin, this dowry, it's the third party that does it, and the daughter is not allowed to go ahead and have the one she's engaged to buy what he wants to have, because anyways, he's going to be eating the peres when they get married. Now, the Gemara asks, my benayu, regarding exactly which case is Remeir and Bidisi arguing about? Because we find that they're using different criteria, and the question is, what are they arguing about? In other words, are they arguing about the case when she's an adult, which is the criteria Rabbi Yosi uses to say that then she gets to decide? But let's say she's an arusa, she's just engaged, where according to Remeir, then she would not be able to go ahead and decide? Or are they arguing about regarding a case when she's a minor, which according to Rabbi Yosi, then she cannot decide? But let's say she's a minor and she has nisu and she's even married, which according to Remeir, seemingly, that the qualification is that then she could decide. Which essentially the Gemara's question is, in Remeir, which case does he argue on Rabbi Yosi? Is it by the case of Gedolah when she's engaged, or is it when she's a minor and married? So the Gemara explains, Ilem ketanim en hanisuin ik benayu. If you're going to say that they argue regarding a case of when she's a minor who's married, the Remeir sava hershus b'yado, where Remeir holds that she has the right to go ahead and take it and not have the third party do it, because this that Remeir said that from Nisuin, the Rishus is Biyada, seemingly he doesn't make any differentiations, would be even talking about by a Ketana. But Vas, Rabbi Yisi Lameim and Rabbi Yisi coming to argue under Meir, and he says, Nafilim and Nisuin Nami, that even if she's married, it doesn't make a difference, Gedolah in Ketana Loi, no, it's only as he qualifies, only if she's an adult, but if she's a minor, then she cannot go ahead and have the rights to do it, the third party has to do it. And that the Gemara says, but Eimer Seifa, but look at the end of the Mishnah. At the end of the Mishnah says, Aval Pekitana in Maisa Kitana Klom. The Mishnah ends off by saying, Bamed Varmum, who we alluded to in the Mishnah, we'll see who is it that makes this qualification. It's only if she's an adult. But Aval Pekitana in Maisa Kitana Klom, but if she's a minor, then she has no rights to do anything, and we don't listen to her. Now, Haman Kitanila, who is saying this qualification? Ilam Rabisi, if you would think it's Rabisi who it sounds like that, because first Rameir says his opinion, then Rabisi says, and then it ends with Bamed Vamamurim. But you can't say that, because Hama Reisha Shamit Mino, we already know from the Reisha, from the first half of the Mishnah, from Rabisi's own statement, that Rabisi already said that we don't listen to her, and we only listen to an adult. Because the Amr Rabisi already said, V'chi eine ela sada v'hi reitz lamacher. Rabisi's logic, why he argued Rameir was, he says, look, let it be that it was already a field bought, and she wants to sell it. Wouldn't she be able to sell it and get money and then buy what she wants anyway? So harehi mechur me'achshu, he says, okay, let it be considered that this was bought and then sold, and there's the money. So why do you make the third party buy it? Let her buy whatever she wants to with it anyway. Now, what that sounds like is, from the fact that this is what he uses to support his opinion, that what is it already? It's a field, and if she wants to, she could sell it. Obviously, we're talking about an adult is able to sell, a minor cannot sell. G'dayla de Bazvini, in obviously, Rabbi Yisus is talking about a case that we listen to her and not to the third party, only by an adult that she could sell. But katan de la Bazvini hiloi, but a minor who cannot sell, then she doesn't have the rights. So it wouldn't make sense to say that he's the one that qualifies at the end by medvam room, that we're only listening by gedayla, by katana, not, because it's already inherent in his own statement previously that it's only talking about gedayla, not by katana. So el remeir. So obviously that final qualification of the Mishnah must be remeir. And there are words missing, and this is what remeir was saying. Remeir said, yasa shlish mashahushlish biyad. He said, no, that the third party does what he was appointed to do. And on that, you have to say, when did we say this, as he says in the Braisa? That's mina erisin. That's if she's only engaged. Av minisu and her shuspayada. However, and this qualification is what he says in the Braisa, which is not explicit in the Mishnah. But from nisu, and he says that even the father wouldn't hold back from the husband being able to do it if he's the one eating the peris. So then, of course, then she has the ability, if she's a nisuan, to go ahead and decide what should be bought with it. Now that b'medvam rum, that's what the Mishnah concluded, which we're saying is her mayor qualifying. That was only said b'gedayla, when she's an adult. Av b'ketana imayis ketana klumbu, when she's a minor, then what she does is nothing. So obviously, when the Braisa was quoting as saying that when she's married, she has the rights. That's what Remeir said. Obviously, Remeir was talking about only a gedayla, not by a ketana, as we're explaining. We see his opinion from the Mishnah. So obviously, the Gemara concludes. Obviously, they do not argue regarding a ketana from Nisuin, because everyone agrees a ketana cannot do anything, even Remeir, not just Rabbi Yossi. So obviously, the machlek is only regarding the other case when she's an adult, but she's only engaged. Remeir said that no, if she's only engaged, even though she's an adult, then Yasa Hashlish, Mashahushlish Biyadeh, the third party, he has to go ahead and buy it, even though she's an adult. And that Rabbi Yossi said to Remeir that no, since she's an adult, we listen to her and we don't have the third party do it. And that's the machloikis that they're arguing. Now Itmar was learned that Rabbi Huda Amar Shmuel halachak Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Huda said the name of Shmuel, the halachas like Rabbi Yossi, that if she's an adult, we always listen to her, even if she's just a Arusa, not Nisua. Whereas Rava Amar Rav Nachman, Rava said the name of Rav Nachman, that halacha is Kremeir, halacha falls like Remeir, and that is meaning when she's an Arusa, even though she's an adult, we listen to the father, as we said, because it's mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. So even though Rabbi Yossi's logic makes sense, that what's the whole point? She could anyway sell it and buy what she wants. Doesn't make a difference. There's a mitzvah to fulfill what the father had said. And although she's an adult, but since she's not a nesua yet, she's just a rusa, and the husband's not eating the peris, if nesua, even Remeir would agree. But when she's just an arusa, then he says halacha zog Remeir, that is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, and the third party does it, and not the one that she's engaged to. Now the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas, that Ilfa, was the name of a sage, Tala Nafshe B'Iskariya de Mechusa. He went and he was hanging himself, he balanced himself from the mast of the sail. And this primary story is brought in Masechtas Tainis. Now the reason why this story happened was because Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa, they went to work because they didn't have food. But Rabbi Yochanan heard Malachim speaking, and he realized it was his time to become great in learning. So Rabbi Yochanan went, and he became the Rosh Hashiva. And in the meantime, Ilfa went, and he went and dabbled in business. When he came back, they told him, look, if you wouldn't have gone to do business, and you would have stayed in Yeshiva learning, Rabbi Yochanan would not have been the Rosh Hashiva, you would have been the Rosh Hashiva. So what he did was, he went and balanced himself on the poles, which that's where the mast hangs from, the sail. He balanced himself there on that pole. And Amar, he said, if someone could come along and tell me any halacha from the brises of Reb Chirin Reb Oishia, and I won't resolve it to him from the Mishnayis, I will fall me, I'll jump off from this mast, and I'll drown. In other words, what he was trying to say was that even though I went to work, I didn't forget my learning,
and I could rectify all the braises that were organized by Reb Chiya and Reb Ishi in their Teiseftis. I could find the source for them from the Mishnais of our Shas that Rebbe had earlier had put together. Now, the reason why he picks Reb Chiya and Reb Ishi is because they're the primary braises, as the Gemara says many times, that any braise that wasn't taught in the braise of Reb Chiya and Reb Ishi, you can't ask a question from that on halacha in the base Medrash. So he says, anyone that comes with a braise, I'll show him the source for it from the Mishnais. So Asahu Saba, so this elder came and Tanalei, he learned in front of him the following braisa, which he was testing him to see if he could find a source from it from the Mishnais. So the braisa says, "Oima tenu shekel." If someone says, "Give a shekel, meaning half a sela, lebni b'shabbos to my sons per week, not more." V'ruin he just doesn't say not more, but he says just give a shekel. V'ruin lit lem sela, and really they need a sela and they need double that amount because they can't get by for their nourishment for the amount of a half a sela. So the halacha is nice lem sela, so they give the children a sela. And the reason being is had he had known that the food would have there with inflation and they would need a sela, he would never have said give only a shekel. So we give them a sela. But v'im amar al titnu lem el a shekel. But if he says don't give more than a shekel, so he obviously is explicitly protesting and the we can't do with inheritance more than what how he had defined the criteria. So ein nois lemel a shekel, so therefore we only give a shekel, even though they need more than that. V'im amar, and if he also said im meisur, if their sons die, yeshu achem tachteim, then I want other people, those people to inherit it. So bein shama tenu, bein shama al tenu, then whether if he just says give them a shekel without saying not to give more, whether he says don't give them more, ein nois lemel a shekel, in both cases they only get a shekel and not more than that. And the reason being is because we can't create a loss for those who were designated to be the Yerushim after them, being because since he made them into inheritors, so obviously he purposefully wanted his sons only to get a shekel so that these people who obviously he liked, that they should inherit it after the sons died, and therefore it's going to be a shekel. So that's what this elder had asked to Ilfa. He says, where can you find this halacha in the Mishnais? So Amalei, so Ilfa responds, he says, Hamani. He says, who is this? Where in specifically regarding the case where the father tells the people that al titnu lahem el a shekel, that don't give my sons more than a shekel, that they only get a shekel, even though, as Rashi points out, the irony, even though ultimately all of the estate is the inheritors, they're going to get everything anyway, but still when they're minors, the father has the right to make sure they only get a shekel per week, and then the excess, they'll have to go ahead, because they can't have less than a sela, they need double the amount, they'll have to collect from tzedakah, which parenthetically Rashi points out that that's not difficult from the Gemara Memchesim at Aleph, where we said that it's a person doesn't not have the authority to make his sons wealthy and to have to collect from tzedakah and not take from his own estate, where he says that don't bury me from my own properties. That's because that's his own estate. And therefore, we don't listen to him for him to be buried from tzedakah to make his sons wealthy, not to take from his inheritance to bury him. But here, this is not the orphan's estate. It's only based on the criteria that the father had commanded. And therefore, he has the rights. And therefore, what Ilfa is answering, that this halacha that we're pointing out, that even though, ironically, the sons will end up inheriting all of it anyway, but still, how it's defined in the beginning of getting only a shekel per week, the father, we listen to him, and we only give a shekel per week. So that Ilfa says, as we continue on top of Ayinim and Aleph, that's Remeir of Amishnah, the Amad that he said, that the third party does as he was appointed to, where it's mitzvah kaim divrei mace, it's a mitzvah to fill the words of the mace, where, although, as Rabbi Yossi pointed out, she's going to get the field anyway, and she'll be able to sell it anyway, and buy what she wants anyway, and that's still Remeir says, doesn't make a difference. We fulfill the words of the mace, and therefore that's essentially the same halacha that you're bringing from this price, where although the sons are going to get everything anyway, so why are we rationing now for them only to get a shekel? That's because of mitzvah kaim divrei mace. And therefore Ilfa brought a source for this price from our Mishnah, which is the opinion of Remeir. Now, however, actually, Amrav Chizda Amar Ukva says, actually, Hilchasa, bein shama tenu, u bein shama al titnu, whether the father says just give a shekel without saying not to give more, which we said you give more, or even if he says don't give more, Noislim called Sakram, actually, we do give them what they need. And we give them a sela and not just a half a sela. On that, the Gemara asked, what do you mean? As we just pointed out, Hakaimalon, halacha gre meir, but we said halacha is a gre meir. which Ilfa pointed out, that's the source of this brisa. Dama mitzvah kem devar meis, who says the mitzvah is to fulfill the words of the meis. So the Gemara answers, hanemila b'mila achronis. So that's by other things, like we're as Remeir's opinion in our Mishnah, which is what field to buy. But regarding this, where the kids have nothing to eat, where he said to give a shekel and they really need double that of a seller, then we give them what they need. Now, but this, the father said, no, don't give them more, give them just a shekel. That was lizerzinu hudaasa. That was only to make them diligent and make them work hard, that they should go and get their needs that they need, and that they shouldn't be people that are always starving and needy and never getting what they need, because he wanted them to be people that know that this is what you get and you have to work hard and you have to save and you have to have the necessary regimen to survive in the world. And that's why he said that. But although, yes, we pass on like Remeir that mislekam devar meis, like in our Mishnah, but that wouldn't be the case as halacha labraisa, and we don't pass him like that. And even if he says al titnu, we do give them, because here, that's not actually what he meant. He didn't want that. He just wanted them to be diligent, to be mezaris them, and therefore, actually, even if he says al titnu, we do give them the full amount that they need.